Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Let's hear some praise. Let's get near to God. He inhabits His praise of His people, right? So let's get near to Him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory be to Jesus. Glory be to the King. King Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise His holy name. God of our deliverance. God of our salvation. Hallelujah. God of creation. Praise His name. Lift that up. Lift that up. Come on. Oh, praise God. Don't you New Englanders have football? Come on. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory be to His name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The battle is joined. The battle is joined. The trumpet has sounded. The trumpet has sounded. And the army of God is charging. The army of God has jumped off and is charging the enemy. Praise God. The regulars are already engaged. But it's a big battle and a big conquest. A big land. Canaan is a big land. And we're going to have some help. We're going to have some reserves, some recruits. Because before this battle is over, everybody chosen of God will have to be engaged. So praise God. This is our mission. To bring the reserves in and bring them to bear. To bring people to the place where they throw it all away. All these entanglements of life. All these things that drag us down. All these things that provide excuses for not doing what Jesus is saying do. For not getting in His army and getting in the battle. Because the time is short. The time is short. The battle will be over before you know it. And you won't be in it. So, we have to come to that place where we say, I don't care anymore about the house, the job, the whatever. The relationships, the things of the world, the pride. Said the other night, had to get to the place where I could say, Jesus, You can make me look like the worst, the most absolute turkey in the world as long as it accomplishes Your will, as long as it brings victory for You. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise God! That's where we have to be. That's what we're doing here today. Praise God. To bring people to the point where they get in to basic training and get trained and armed and ready to go out and do battle for Jesus in the blessed assurance that He has the victory. We've got the best general ever was. So, we don't have to worry about victory. All we have to do is get in there and fight. But that's a little bit of doing. You see, one thing that a lot of us here have discovered this week, and it's one thing to know God's will. And it's one thing to even want God's will. But the doing of it is maybe a little more involved than that. And you have to really get down. Really get down to the point where you've sold out for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And nothing else matters. Praise God. Then you can hear Him. And then you can do it. And then you've got the power. Then you're liberated. Hallelujah. Then you're free. Free at last. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Give Brother Davey a chair. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know who that man is, but he wasn't here a week ago. There's been a change in him. There's been a change. There's been a liberation. There's been a liberation. That's what my Jesus is in the business of. My Jesus is in the business of taking yokes off of people. My Jesus is in the business of taking burdens off of people. Satan's in the business of putting burdens on people. But my God takes them off. Satan puts them on. But my God takes them off. Satan bends your head down. But my God lifts it up. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise God. I didn't expect to start preaching that quick, but I feel something all over me. This is the seventh day. It's the seventh day. Hallelujah. It's the seventh day. Praise God. It's the seventh day. You know what that means. It's the seventh day. God pours it out on the seventh day. Hallelujah. I come expecting something from the Lord. I come expecting something from the treasurer house of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and God of all gods, Jesus the Christ. All gods are false gods, but Jesus is the only God. Hallelujah. He is the only true and living God. Hallelujah. Buddha's in the ground. That old fat-bellied sucker's in the ground. They can go pray to his statue, but I can pray to the living victor. They can pray to a tomb, but I can pray to Jesus. Hallelujah. Because Jesus is not in the ground. Jesus is resurrected. Jesus is Lord of all. And he is alive. He was dead, and he's alive. He was alive, then he was dead, and he's alive forevermore. Hallelujah. Praise his name. I want to seek first the kingdom of God. I want to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all things shall be delivered unto you. I want to seek first his kingdom. And when I got his kingdom in my grasp, and it's in my heart and I'm in it, it's in me, I'm in it, and we're in each other, then all things will be delivered. Amen? Let's sing it, son. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Oh, Lord, your spirit is so sweet. Oh, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Be seated. Hallelujah. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to fall short of it. For the word was preached unto them as well as unto us, but the word profited them nothing. The word profited them nothing, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. The Lord gave me that years ago. And he keeps renewing it to me and renewing it and renewing it. If I preached it every day the rest of my life, it would not be enough. To mix the faith with the word is to digest the bread of God. And without that digestion, the word will kill you. Jesus said to the Pharisees, because you say you hear, you have ears, your sin remaineth. They said they knew what God wanted, and they said they knew the will of God, but they did not hear and obey. They did not mix the faith and the word of God together. They mixed their own faith with their own word and came up with their own slop. And when the God of creation and heaven and earth, King Jesus himself, came unto them, they rejected him and hung him on a cross. But blessed be to God, he was resurrected from the dead. And now both those that rejected him and those who never had a chance, the Gentiles, can believe and be saved.
Amen.
Can believe and be saved. For salvation is first unto the Jew, and then the Gentile. I'm a Gentile, and I praise the Jews. I praise the Jews, for without them I could not be saved. It was through them the seed came. And God did blind them for a season, that the Gentiles could inherit the promise. And therefore, I pray for the Jews. I pray for them. And I pray for Israel. I bless them with the blessings of God, that God will bring them back and make a mighty people out of them. And He has been doing it. He has been doing it. And He is doing it. But God is bringing a new thing. It's an old thing. But it's a new thing. I want to show you something. Who's got a Bible? Somebody give me a Bible. Hallelujah. This Bible's got an Old Testament in it. Hallelujah. This Bible's got a New Testament in it. Hallelujah. God used the old Bible. He wrote it in Hebrew and Chaldean. That was the language the people understood. That was the language of the world of that day. And God used that language. But then when Jesus came, He used the Greek because that was the language of the day. That was the language of the world. And hallelujah, I praise God for that. But then God came and found a man. And He put both of them together at the commandment of God and gave us the Word and put it in the language of the world, English. And it's called the King James Bible. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And I want to tell you, somebody say to me, preacher, how do you know that that Bible is God's Word? I'll tell you why. It ain't got a copyright. It ain't got a copyright. NIV's got a copyright. American Standard's got a copyright. The Living Bible's got a copyright. And all them other Bibles got a copyright. And that says that man owns them. It says that man wrote them. It says they belong to a person. But my God's Word doesn't have a copyright. Because it's free. It don't cost a thing. It's for anyone who wants it. You can't buy it. It's free. Hallelujah. He already paid for it. He paid for it with His blood. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You love the Lord. Say amen.
Amen.
And I'll tell you something else the Lord showed me. In these last days, He's taking the Old Testament saints and He's putting the spirit of the Old Testament saints in the New Testament saints. He's putting the Old Testament saints with the old New Testament saints. And the two New Testament saints with the old. And He's pulling the saints together like He did in the Bible when He bring the Word together. There's going to be a generation of Bible-believing Christians that come along that's going to raise hell. They're going to raise hell and put it back in the ground where it belongs. Because my God reigns. My God is sovereign. My God is almighty. My God has all power. He's the fourth man in a fire furnace. He is the flaming bush. And His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. He's raising up a people in these last days. They ain't going to be Methodist. They ain't going to be Presbyterian. They ain't going to be Catholic. They're not going to be Baptist or Church of God or Church of God of Prophecy. They're going to be Jesus Christ saints born again, filled with the Holy Ghost. They're going to be filled with power, washed in the blood of the Lamb, and walking in His name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. I'll tell you what, somebody said to me, when the Word of God says, put on the mind of Christ, somebody said to me, well, no one can have the mind of Christ. Let me tell you something, it's simple. Satan will lie to you. Satan will lie to you. But God will always tell you the truth. Satan will lie, but God will always tell you the truth. Now, Satan will tell you, you can't have the mind of Christ. But my Bible says you can. When you look at that word, have the mind, put on the mind of Christ, when you look at it from a worldly level, it means have the intelligence and knowledge of Christ. And these spiritually egotistical, stupid people that run around trying to elevate themselves in knowledge and man's wisdom totally miss the boat. Totally miss it. Because to put on the mind of Christ is to mind the things that Christ minded. And what was it that Christ had a mind to do? Christ had a mind to please the Father in all things. He had a mind to please the Father. He had a mind to do God's will. And that's putting on the mind of Christ. When you want to please God, when you want to serve God, you don't want to serve the world anymore. You want to serve God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The Word says, let us therefore fear. Again, the Word says, the beginning of wisdom is fear of the Lord. So let us fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. People come to me and say, Brother Richard, you're a fanatic. You're a fanatic. I'll say, praise God, I'm a fanatic. You just said, I believe in Jesus more than you. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. Maybe I do. Hallelujah. And I hope I do. I hope I believe in Jesus more than all of you. In fact, if any of you think you do, you believe in Jesus more than me, let's race. Praise God. You provoke me, I'll provoke you, and together we'll get there. Amen.
Yeah.
You provoke me, and I'll provoke you, and we'll get there. But let's get there in faith.
Amen.
In faith. Faith of Jesus Christ. Putting on the mind of Christ to serve Him and to do all that pleases Him. Not this, but Him. Let us therefore labor. Let us therefore labor to enter into that rest. Lest any of you seem to fall short of it through unbelief. A lot of seeming there. A lot of seeming there. Seeming to fall short. Let me be a fanatic. Man, God, if I have to jump 3 feet to get into your kingdom, let me jump 6. If it's too far, you'll knock me down. Paul was a fanatic when his name was Saul. Saul of Tarsus was a fanatic, and he had a mind to serve God. He had a heart to serve God and a mind to serve God. His only problem was he was wrong. That was his only problem. He was wrong. He didn't understand. But he had a mind and a heart to serve God, and he went out to more diligently serve God than any of his fellow Jews. Any of his fellow Jews. Man, he was serving God with more of vim and vigor and more heart than even Peter, James, and John. They were hiding off in Jerusalem. He was running out there putting them in prison. He was going out doing all he could for God. And he leaped that 6 feet, and what did God do? Knock him off his high horse. Boom. Straighten him out. Straighten him out. Let me tell you something. God will always, always, always stand for the one that goes all the way for him. Even if he makes a mistake.
Amen.
Because God will take that one and straighten him out. But those that fall short, he's got no use for them. Why? Because they're lukewarm. And those are the ones he's going to spew out of his mouth. Well, I'll tell you what. If I'm going to be a Christian, I'm going to be all the way Christian. I'm not going to be some-a-day Christian. Or a son-a-day Christian. Or a Monday Christian, or any other kind of Christian, but a Jesus Christ Spirit filled, born in the blood of Spirit and water of God Christian. I'm going to be one, pleasing the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, one God, Jesus. My math ain't 1 + 1 + 1 = 3. My math is 1 × 1 × 1 = 1, and His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Lord sent me over to Leviticus this morning in my prayers. I was over in Leviticus reading over there. And the Lord was showing me something in Leviticus that every sacrifice and every meat sacrifice offered unto the Lord was to be salted. Was to be salted. And then Jesus said what? Every sacrifice shall be salted with fire. Every sacrifice shall be salted with fire. Then he said, you will be salted. You will be salted. And then again he said, you are the salt of the earth. Wherefore, if salt has lost its savor, it's to be good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of man. Salt does two things. Salt does one, it flavors that which it touches. Makes it taste better. Makes it taste better. When you're a cook, you can take your old food if you don't care what anybody thinks. You take your old food, throw it in a pot of water and boil it down. Then slop it on a plate and say, here. And everybody's supposed to say, good. Not me. I'll say, what's the matter with this food? I'll say, hey, what's wrong with this food, woman? You forgot something, didn't you? Well, no. Did you put salt in it? No. Well, then take it back. If they got salt in it, I don't want it. Have you ever noticed how Satan tries to take away everything God says is good?
Amen.
Have you ever noticed that? They go out here in this world out here, they call themselves intelligent. And they say, don't eat red meat. Red meat's bad for you. Don't eat it. But there's a Christian doctor in California that found out that there is a protein in red meat and that it can only be found in red meat. And when you are in a spiritual battle, when you're under stress, when you're under attack, when Satan comes at you, that protein is depleted in your body. And if you don't replace it, then you will fall. And you read over there in that Bible where Saul commanded the people, the soldiers, not to eat anything but to fast. And they were losing the battle. But praise God, the Lord sent a man and said, eat meat. And eat a lot of it. And go forth and conquer. And they did. They did. Amen. So they come along and say, don't eat meat. Don't eat meat. And my Bible even says that some would come commanding to abstain from meats which God has offered. Amen?
Amen.
And then we turn around and they say, now, don't use salt. Don't use salt. It's bad for you. Because it's bad for you. It'll raise your blood pressure. It'll do all this kind of stuff. Well, I got news for you. I'll tell you what will raise blood pressure. Sin will raise blood pressure.
Amen.
Sin is what raises it, not salt. Sin. Red meat doesn't cause heart trouble. Sin causes heart trouble. My Bible says that men's hearts shall fail them for fear. And fear is unbelief. And unbelief is sin. For anything that is not of faith is sin.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody praise God.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Lord's been dealing with me strong. Says, if you can't do a thing in faith, don't do it at all. If you can't get in your car and ride to the store in faith, don't go. Mm-hmm. If you can't get up and brush your teeth in faith, don't brush your teeth. You'd be better off just letting them fall out of your mouth. Well, praise God, for years I have let my teeth fall out of my mouth. But the Lord God has spoken to me, and He has said He's going to restore me new teeth. And you guys can sit back there and look at me weird, but one of these days I'm going to walk in here with a whole face full of brand new teeth, and I'm going to say, glory to God, He gave them to me. He gave them to me. I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. One and one is two. And two is incomplete. But three is perfect. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because man fell, man lost the blessings of God. Now this may seem mysterious to you, but this is what the Lord showed me. Because man fell, man lost the blessings of God. And the body that God created to live forever dies. God created man to have three sets of teeth. Now you're not going to find that in the Bible. You're not going to find it. Don't even bother. Go, if you want to, look it up in Hezekiah chapter 14, 31st verse. You can find the book of Hezekiah somewhere. Amen. And you know what? It doesn't even matter if you believe this. It doesn't even matter if you believe this. The Lord showed it to me. And we'll see if it's true or not. Amen. Some things are doctrine, and you've got to believe them things. But there are other things the Lord shows to people, and we just wait and see, don't we? Huh? But He said that He created us to have three. A body, a spirit, and a soul. Three. Amen? And that He created man and woman to be one with Him. One, two, three. Amen? Yet He gives us two sets of teeth. Something's missing. Where's the third? Where's the third? Well, sin took it away. Sin took it away. Sin robbed us of that. Sin robbed us of a lot of things. Sin's been robbing me of my hair. Amen. Sin robbed him of more hair than it robbed me. Love the Lord, say amen.
Amen.
And you know what? Doesn't even have to be his sin. Could have been his father's sin or his father's father before him. Could have been anybody's sin back there. Because sin comes down through the ranks. You know, my Bible says that I will visit the iniquity upon the children on the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. And I did a little research in that word hate. That word hate means those that do not prefer me. You don't have to go, I hate God. You don't have to do that. All you have to do is not prefer Him. All you have to do is not prefer Him. Because love means to prefer God.
Amen.
Love isn't an emotional thing. I mean, there is an emotional love. There is one of those things. And it's the kind of love we have for one another, and we can even have it for God. But the love that God told us to have for Him is one of choice and decision with a conscious mind saying, I prefer You, Lord, before my life. I prefer You before my family. I prefer You before everything. And that's the love of Jesus Christ. That He preferred us over Himself. He preferred us having life greater than He preferred Him having life. And gave His life that we could have life. But blessed be to God. He is God. And He took His life up again. He took His life up again and said, see, I can do it to me, I can do it to you. If I can do it to me, I can do it to you. Hallelujah. And then just to make it a little bit better, He turned around and raised up all those saints that believed before Him. All the saints from Abraham on, and raised them up from the dead also and carried them on up. And He said, see, if I can do it for me, if I can do it for them, then have faith. I'll do it for you.
Amen.
Anything that is of faith is of God. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
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 Let us therefore labor to enter into that rest, any of you should seem to fall short of it. Labor through the same example of unbelief. Unbelief is that sin that'll kill you. And it robs you. And it steals from you. But you know what? My God said, I don't have to be an unbeliever. My God said, I could choose to be a believer. I couldn't understand all the time Paul, the Apostle Paul, constantly talking about how he will serve God with his spirit. I will serve God with my spirit, he says. I will serve God with my spirit, he says. I will serve God with my understanding, he says. But he never once said he will serve God with his flesh. And I finally figured it out. This flesh is incapable of serving God. This flesh is incapable of serving the Lord. This flesh is going to go to the ground. This flesh is going to decay. The worms are going to have a feast day over. Hallelujah. I told somebody one time, when you bury me in a cardboard box. I don't want no coffin. I don't want no lead-lined coffin. Just put me in a cardboard box, and I want you to do another thing. I want you burying me with me standing straight up, because when that trumpet blows, I'm coming out before the rest of you. Hallelujah. I want to come out before the rest of you. I don't want to have to go through some old concrete coffin. I don't want to come through some old metal coffin. I don't want to have to claw through nothing, man. Now, I know God's going to rock the earth. He's going to shake it, and all the graves are going to be opened for us. But I don't even want to take the time to set up. I want to be standing up when He comes. When I hear that trumpet blow, I'm already going to be standing up, my arms raised, and say, let's go. They love Him. Praise Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When my Lord comes, I want to be standing there greeting Him. I don't want to be some old buried in some old box. So if the law says you got to bury me in a box, well, go out in the daytime, bury me a box. But then dig me up at night and stand me straight up. If you love Him, praise God.
Praise God.
Satan trying to take my voice all week long. It's funny, I get up in the morning. But when I come in the tent, the Lord restores it. Boom. Praise the Lord. I don't care. I don't care what the devil's going to do. I know when I walk with the Lord, God will hold me up. And the devil will try to stomp me down, but God will always pick me back up. Amen. We're going to sing that song in a minute, but before we do, I want to share something with you. I want to share something with you. I feel really led of the Lord to share this with you. Job, God's man, most righteous man on the earth. Satan come along, says to God, all kinds of stuff. God says, you see my man Job down there? Have you ever seen anyone as righteous as him? Oh, Satan starts whining and crying and says, oh, of course he's righteous. Look at why. You got that hedge all up around about him. Take that hedge down and I'll show you what I can do. God did not take the hedge down. God didn't take the hedge down. What God did do is give Satan permission to do what he wanted, but not kill him. Now watch this. Job gave away what happened when he said, "That which I most greatly feared has come to pass." It was Job's fear that let the hedge come down. Well, praise God. My Bible says God doesn't give us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and a sound mind. Hallelujah. Fear, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Fear, I command you to get away from me in the name of Jesus. I have power. I have love. I have a sound mind. And it's going to serve Jesus Christ. If you love Him, praise Him.
Praise you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
Praise your name, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Praise you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Praise you, Jesus.
Praise God. Let's sing a song to the Lord.